I forgot something. Sometimes you need your notes. It's good to see everybody here this evening. Pleasure to be with you on this Lord's Day, especially this second time when we are able to come together and do the things that we have done with each other this evening in worship and honor of our Father in heaven. Appreciate the fact that we have visitors with us, and even though we know you, and I guess really technically you're not a visitor because you come here often enough, might as well place membership. But we appreciate you being here, and we really do appreciate the support on Sunday evenings when you're able to be here with us. I want to ask you a question this evening. Are you high maintenance? Now, generally, we make reference to something like that when we're talking about cars, appliances, things along those lines. Cars especially, you know, Ford's fix and repair daily. We think about that, and I think at least think about those in that term. But when we think about certain aspects of our lives, there are things that require maintenance. Now, it is one of those things that as children of God, we are blessed. You know, I said a week or so ago when I'd asked someone about the problems that they were having, and instead of sitting and complaining about the problems, the answer that they gave me was when I asked them how they were doing, instead of telling me how they were really doing, they said, "I'm blessed because I'm a child of God." Well, it is true in our lives that we are blessed. Because as children of God, we're blessed because we get to enjoy Christ, it being in Christ, and the support that comes from brethren. I mentioned in this morning's lesson when we were talking about grace and what happens after we receive our salvation by grace, after we've been baptized, after our conversion. One of the things that I mentioned at that particular time was that God gave us the church. He gave us each other. And I truly believe that that is one of the richest blessings that we have in Christ Jesus, the fact that we do have one another. And we are stronger when we are together. We are stronger. But those who are strong are the ones who are supposed to support those who are weak. Every congregation, I don't know, I haven't been in a congregation where every single individual was as strong as the other. And even those that are strong, or we deem to be the strongest, at times go through difficulties and they need help. And it's at those times that it doesn't matter who we are or where we think we are in our spiritual strength, we rely upon one another. But it is a responsibility of those who are strong to ought to bear the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. There are times like that. That was one of the issues with the church at Rome, especially over in Romans chapter 14. That's why Paul was talking about that. And so in chapter 15, when he begins that chapter there, he makes this statement that those who are strong need to be able to help those who do not fully understand. See, those who are spiritual, we mentioned this morning, they are also to provide help to those who are overcome in a fault, overcome by sin. And that's something that I believe that each one of us understands. Brethren, if any man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. And I believe that when you consider that, the Apostle Paul says it's part of the law of Christ that we bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. So we're there for one another. But I will also go on and say this. There are some who we oftentimes feel like we have to hold their hands more often than we do others. Some that at times that need more hand-holding and reassurance than others. But we also need to understand, even the strong and the weak alike have a responsibility to mature, to grow, and be able to reach a point in our lives also where we are able to bear our own loads. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 4 and 5. And the reason for that is that we're going to be held accountable for our actions. You know, Ron can help me, I could help Ron, but neither one of us are going to be necessarily responsible for the other person's actions. We can encourage one another, we can admonish one another, we can reprove one another, we can edify one another, but ultimately what it'll come down to, even though we may help one another, Brian's going to be responsible for Brian, Ron's going to be responsible for Ron. And you look at that, we understand that we are held. So then let each of us shall give account of himself. That's what's going to happen to us before God. And thus, it becomes our responsibility to, at times when we're knocked down, especially when there's no one else around us to help us get back up on our feet, it's our responsibility to pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and move forward. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 12, though, gives us encouragement. Encouragement that we have one another. Therefore, strengthen the hands that hang down. I want to suggest something. I know that suggests reliance upon others to do that. But over time, we should grow in our own personal strength. And I don't believe that we should ever overlook that aspect of our lives as children of God. That we should constantly be growing stronger in our own lives. Yes, we may get knocked down from time to time, but there are going to be those times you're going to have to get back up again on your own and not be completely reliant upon someone else. But when it does happen, and you do need that aid, and the hands are weak, and the knees are feeble, we can make straight paths for each other. We can make what is lame so that it's not dislocated, so that it can be healed. We can help each other. You know, there have been people that have been out in the wilderness together. One of them has an accident. One of them has such a severe accident that maybe they suffer a broken bone. What does that one person that's there that's still healthy try to do for them? Well, if possible, they'll put a splint on the broken bone to keep it as straight and as immobile as they possibly can. And if they have to have help walking, what are they going to do? They're going to help them until they can get back to where they can actually get true medical help. Our responsibility as children of God is to help each other, get each other back into God's Word. Get each other back on that, or back through that narrow gate and on that road that leads to eternal life. And we can do that for each other. But some Christians never seem to progress. Have you ever noticed that? We mentioned, I guess, a little bit this morning in the fact that some people grow with an attitude that, okay, I've made it, I don't have to go any farther. And that's not the case. They stop growing, they stop moving forward. And from that point, they constantly need support for themselves. And I promise you, there will never be enough support for them. They remain very dependent upon their brethren. Unless constantly nurtured, they fall away, or at the very least, they become apathetic, lackadaisical, and if they do that, this is the same thing as falling away. But brethren, that type of brother or sister in Christ, that's the person that we might describe as high maintenance. Like I said, every congregation I've ever been a part of, there's someone there. Do you know who they are here? Do you know who the ones are that constantly need you to encourage them? I'm not telling you to stop doing that. What I'm trying to get you to understand is if we're not encouraging them, we need to keep encouraging them. We need to do that. They need that support. We need to try to help them, though, to get to a point where they can help others instead of being in need of that help. The definition that I'm going to use of high maintenance tonight is going to refer to the need of a lot of personal attention, coddling, or hand-holding. And there are some in every congregation that should need those things, and there are those that should not need those things. We think about this in these particular terms. This often requires a lot of time, a lot of energy on individual parts. And any person or thing that requires a lot of attention sometimes makes us grow weary, doesn't it? And at the same time, I hear the Apostle Paul talk about different areas in Galatians chapter 6, but he warns them not to grow weary in doing good. Well, helping those who have the weak hands and the feeble knees, who seem to be the ones who are truly high maintenance, we tend to grow weary at times because we don't think there's ever going to be a change. I don't believe God ever wants us to stop helping them. But let me put it this way. Just like a car might need a lot of work to keep it running, sometimes Christians need a lot of work to keep them moving forward in life. Employees might require closer supervision to make sure that they're working on their jobs properly. Others may require a lot of gifts or dates, or they lose interest in you. But for the Christian, as it's applied to us, a Christian being high maintenance, here's one of these Jeff Foxworthies. You might be high maintenance if. But I'm not going to do it to be comical about it. But it's they require a lot of attention in order to remain faithful. If they require a lot of coddling, pampering, and constant urging to be an active member of the Lord's body. But I do believe that there are Christians that should receive this type of care, spiritual care. And the first ones are those that, when we think about them, and I really shouldn't have had this last one up here. I know I jumped ahead of where I am. But churches can be high maintenance or not. But those who need the care, where it truly can help, it's for that newborn child of God. That new creature in Christ, the babe in Christ, just starting their spiritual walk. This, for them, this is a very good thing. Because what we do with our children today, when they are, after they are born and they begin their new life physically, we don't just leave them in a crib and walk away and say, well, they're going to grow on their own, do we? We don't just slide food under the door, and if they're hungry, they'll come get it. No, sometimes we have to take it to them. And in the kingdom of God, when it comes to the new creature in Christ, we need to do something very similar in the fact that we need to feed them, we need to lead them, we need to help them grow spiritually. Because what you're doing is doing what the Apostle Paul told Timothy to do. Eventually you teach faithful men to teach faithful men to teaching faithful men, and you provide them that opportunity to grow into that. You think of them in this way, it's a good thing because each of us should be involved in each other's growth. Not because we're trying to be in everybody's business, but because we have that concern for the souls of each one. The slothful child of God, who attend and work only when constantly prodded, need this type of attention. And so it's essential, even for those who are hurting. I think of the babe in Christ and those who are hurting, the reason that they are young, and the person hurting may be young in the faith as well. It doesn't matter if they're an aged, mature child of God. But God's will for them is that when they're young, when they are hurting, they become susceptible to the fiery darts of Satan. And we need to understand that we are together because we are to be brought together for the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ. That's Ephesians chapter 4. What we are trying to avoid is that time where it would be possible for them to be overcome by Satan. Those are the individuals that we need to help out, especially as young ages happen. as children of God. High maintenance is really essential for that Christian that is hurting, because they are not necessarily what we would deem high maintenance permanently, but only temporarily. And you comfort the faint-hearted. You comfort the weak. And you be patient with all in those circumstances. But where it can hurt a church, where it can hurt an individual, is when it hinders the growth of the church. When all that the time and energy is focused on that one individual, and we're not out going out and reaching out to others. It stunts evangelism if we're not careful. Edification becomes an issue. Benevolence becomes an issue. You think of these things that they will stop these things from growing. And this person, when it hinders the growth of the church, endangers the church. I believe that there are times when we consider this, that an individual that often needs this type of attention is the individual that also needs the correction that we're told to execute in the New Testament, because they are essentially walking disorderly. And we need to just warn them at times and not just handhold. I consider this when it holds back the efforts of workers in the church. Romans chapter 15 and verse 20 says, "And so I made it my aim to preach the gospel, nor where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation." Paul's desire was to preach Christ. And it didn't matter where he went to preach Christ. He was going to preach Christ. There wasn't going to be anything that was going to hinder him from doing that. But yet churches like the one at Corinth sometimes held him back just a little bit, because they needed that little bit of extra care. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit because I did not find Titus, my brother, but taking my leave of them, I departed for Macedonia." There are things that sometimes can hinder us from doing the work that we need. But when a more serious need arises and it goes unmet, that is a danger. Again, I believe that more serious needs, such as babes in Christ not being helped when others should be on their own, endangers a church. The sick, the dying are often neglected because others require special attention. And there are times in everyone's spiritual lives when we will require some time or some type of maintenance, high maintenance in our lives. But to avoid keeping it from those who really need it, we should give serious thought and effort toward a few things this evening. This is where we're going to look at some things. Individual growth. The promoting of individual growth is something that needs to be taken care of, the things we need to do. We need high maintenance when we're babes in Christ, absolutely. But we need to be able to move beyond being babes in Christ. The Hebrew writer, before he gets to Hebrews chapter 12, addresses this over in Hebrews chapter 5. He addresses it with those who are there and points out to them that they should be beyond where they are. Hebrews chapter 5, beginning at verse 12, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have not come to need milk, or you have come to need milk and not solid food." I remember my own children, I remember my grandchildren being bottle fed. But you know, there came a time where they moved from just milk, formula, to something a little more solid as the body grew. And from there, it moved to something a little more, when it starts developing teeth, a little more solid than that, where they can actually chew something. And as children of God, we should be advancing from babe to a mature child of God. We need to become providers and not just recipients. We need to become stronger in our faith. We need to consider how what we're looking at right now in Hebrews chapter 5, how unfortunate it was that the writer had to say what he said to them here. Why was their faith stunted? Why was it not growing like it should have? And so he's having to go backwards instead of forwards with them. And you keep reading there, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Have you ever considered that a child of God never truly could reach that point in their lives where they could tell the difference between right and wrong, truth and error? They couldn't defend the faith that they needed to. And really, that's what we should all be striving for, and to get out of that high maintenance zone and only need regular maintenance. We have a Honda CRV. I have a wrench that comes on my dashboard every 7,500 miles, tells me, take it in and get it serviced. It reminds me that it needs regular maintenance so that it doesn't become high maintenance. And I believe that when we think about what Paul, or the, if you believe Paul's writing the Hebrew letter, if the Hebrew writer here, what he's saying is they needed to be able to move beyond that so that they're not in need of that help all the time. And then through individual strength. Strength from brethren is helpful. It's needed. It's something that it at times is required. But we should also reach a point where our strength comes from God. Where our faith allows us, our faith in God allows us to receive that consolation, that comfort from Him. And not just total dependence upon one another. At some point in our Christian lives, we should become producers of comfort and strength. And not just the recipients of comfort and strength. We should be able to look at one another and as we mature and become qualified to help others because of the help that we've received. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul right there says something within the first few verses of that chapter that really have stood out with me for years. Because we have a God who is a God of all comfort. It's what we find out in verse 3. But also, because He is a God of all comfort, we should be at one time in our lives able to bring consolation and comfort to others as well. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same suffering which we also suffered. Or, if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation." Why did Paul go through the things that he did to help those at Corinth? Why would the Corinthians suffer persecution, tribulation, and seek the comfort of God so that in turn, when others suffer, they can provide similar consolation? But we have to seek it through God first. We have to look at Him, and we have to understand that He is the one that we should turn to. In Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul again says it this way, beginning at verse 11, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Regular maintenance, spiritual maintenance, moves us to the point where Paul is. Remaining in that high maintenance mode never allows us to get to where Paul is in this. And he suffered much more than we have ever suffered when it comes to his faith. I really want you to take into consideration this evening when I'm talking about this type of maintenance. It's not to discourage to hold hands and help those who are weak. Really, I think it's just the opposite. But it's for us to be able to understand when it's the most beneficial to help them. When they truly are in need, be able to recognize some of that, so that we're not just spending all of our time bearing their burdens and not helping others bear theirs. And so, it's a challenge for the strong to bear with the infirmities or the scruples of the weak. It becomes a challenge to look at others and reflect upon our work in the kingdom and see whether or not we are doing work in different areas or if we are just locked in on one and that's all we can get away from. God gave us a great blessing to have each other. God gave us a wonderful opportunity to be part of one another in a local body like we are right here at Park Hill Church of Christ. But he expects us to go out, and he expects us to work inward too. We can't neglect one for the other, and we must always be mindful of that. My desire really is to challenge you in thinking about your service to Christ. I want you to think about your work in the kingdom of God today. Remember this morning we talked about making excuses. Well, what excuses are you making for your work in the kingdom of God today? I can't or I won't. I'm not trained, then ask somebody to help you. I don't know. Well, what do you need to do to learn so that you can know? Those types of things can be taken care of. That's why we have one another. But reflect on your work in the kingdom. Are you bearing your own load? Because if you're able to bear your own load, then one day you're also going to be able to help somebody else bear theirs. When a burden becomes unbearable, that is when the need for high maintenance really arises. That's the need for our brethren to come about. So are you able to bear your own load? Or do you require... And I think I'm going to change this slide in the future because I don't like what I've got up there right now. It's insinuating that coddling's a bad thing, because there are times where the coddling needs to take place. But do you require coddling constantly when in fact you should have matured to the point that you should be offering the similar consolation and comfort that you've received in the past? It is written, "He who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer." The proverb writer said that in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 9. Let's not neglect our work of going outside, working inside with each other, but let's not neglect any aspect of it. Let's grow together. Let's work together. And if there is someone that needs to be high maintenance, let's work with them. Let's do the proper repair job, so that they will be able to go another 100,000 miles or so without extra service. You know, one of these days, that Honda that we've got out there, I'm hoping it's going to get, you know, I know BMWs and other cars like that, when a car hits 200,000 miles or something like that, they get badges or something you can stick on the grill. I want my cars to be able to do that too. But more importantly, I want my brethren to be able to persevere in this life so that you can live eternally in the next. Whatever maintenance is required, we can perform it together. Now, if you're here this evening and not a child of God, or if you are a child of God who needs help, who needs spiritual maintenance this evening, we want to assist you. There's power in Jesus' blood. A power that goes beyond anything that Brian Lockmiller can offer. I might be able to offer consolation. I might be able to try and help you strengthen yourself. But I don't have the power that the blood of Jesus Christ has. This blood right here takes the spiritual engine that is broken and makes it like new. This blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from sin. This blood from Jesus Christ makes you whole again. There is power in His blood. Are you subject to His invitation? Do you need the spiritual maintenance that only He can provide? We stand ready to assist you. Won't you come as together we stand and as we sing.